Looking for a dating experience where high standards are the norm? Welcome to Luxy, the exclusive dating platform where quality is key. With an acceptance rate of only 10 to 15%, Luxy is designed for individuals who seek meaningful connections with people who match their ambitions and lifestyle. Plus, Luxy's unique income verification feature adds an extra layer of assurance, creating a trusted environment to meet like-minded singles. Join today to experience a premium approach to dating. Check the link in the description. Namaste and welcome back to another episode of The Sapient. Today we have someone with a very cool name. So welcome, Hayden. How are you today?
Thanks, Ganesh.
I'm doing well. I'm a little sleepy, but I'll put that aside and I'll be all in giving everything I can to this conversation. Yeah.
Hopefully you better. You give us 100%. So where are you based out of?
I live in Sheerness, down the southeast coast of the UK. I'm originally from Australia. I've also lived in Canada. Right now, at this point in our life, we are living in the UK.
So you must really hate sun, isn't it?
Hate the sun. I actually love the sun. And the great thing, coming from Australia with no ozone layer, the sun down there is intense. My brother actually timed it. If you go out in the sun in summer, being this white complexion that I am, it takes 7 minutes to get sunburned. Whereas here in the UK, I don't have to even care. I can go out in the sun all day and barely get a lick. So, I really appreciate the lighter intensity sun that they have up in this northern hemisphere.
Got it. So you're like, I like sun, but in moderation.
Yeah, I don't want to be cooked. I like a little bit crispy. I don't want to be black to the bone.
Yeah. So you seem to have traveled countries, right? Like three countries at least.
Man of the world.
Which one do you hate the most?
Hate the most? Oh, that's harsh. I'm not a lover.
Just say Canada.
I really loved Canada. It was a stunning country. And the people there are beautiful. I know, look, their politics seems to be in shambles. And I don't agree with many of the decisions the leaders make. The people, when you get out there and meet them, are wonderful people. Yeah, really, truly loving and fun and supportive and free. They're passionate about their freedom. And if you're living your life and not hurting anyone else, then all the power to you. And I do like that attitude.
Yeah, I don't think you can hurt Canadians though.
Can't hurt them. Wow. Yeah. They're a little sensitive.
Because most of the war crimes were made up by them. So yeah.
Yeah, but it's amazing because on one hand they hunt, they live out in the forest. Like the wilderness there is real. It's nature's trying to kill you. And yet, on the other hand, they're like, "Oh, you can't say that. That's not politically correct." You know, so they're an interesting mix of people.
Yeah, it's definitely a balance, right, of people. Yeah, but you come from the land of dead man, the Australia, right?
Yeah, everything's trying to kill you everywhere you go. It's dangerous putting your shoes on if you leave them outside, or you've got to be careful if you're in an outhouse. There's going to be a creepy crawly underneath the seat waiting to get you. So, yeah, it's a deadly country. But, you get used to it when you live there, like anywhere. So you get used to it.
And
you know where to look, where not to put your hands. And it's beautiful. Australia is just stunning. Coastline, the forest, the different ecosystems, everywhere you go. It is such a beautiful country.
So how has been your transition from living in such a huge land like Australia, right? It's just spacious. To UK.
Oh, so much space. I grew up on the edge of suburbs and I overlooked the bush. So just eucalypts and mountains in the distance and nothing. And it was so easy. I'd walk for 2 minutes and I'm alone in the forest with the kookaburras and the snakes. And then I come to, like, Canada was very similar, another huge country where 10 minutes outside of the city and there's nothing for miles and kilometers. And then we come to the UK and it's, you can't get away from people. They just pack them in. I haven't been to India, any of those even denser populated countries, but England is just people everywhere, people and farmland. I was not used to that at all. I'm very lucky. I live right next to the ocean and I walk down every day with my dog and I get back to that space and nature with nothing around. So I have my serenity and my peace every day still. I don't feel so sardined in, you know, jam-packed in a can. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's like a craving that's only for people who grew up in, you know, in less populated areas, right?
Yeah. I have friends from India and they love it. They love the nightlife. They want to live in the city. And I'm like, nah, I don't get it. I don't get why you want all the noise and the atmosphere and the cars and the horns and the people screaming at 2 a.m. I don't get that. But I suppose that's what they're conditioned to. I mean, if they're in the big cities in India, not if you're from the farming villages and those things. But yeah, my friends from Delhi.
They love the noise.
Yeah.
That person would love, I think, noise, traffic and pollution is what they would love.
Yes, they're going to smell the fumes in the air in the morning. It gets their blood pump.
They're like, and if carbon monoxide doesn't hit my lungs, I cannot wake up.
You got to get your hit. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I think when people travel world, right, their personality also grows.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I think is missing from when we're losing religion in the world, and I'm not a religious man, but we're losing religion, and I think we're missing the pilgrimage where people would at least once in their life travel across the world to another city and see all these different cultures and really get that at a core level, humans are humans everywhere in the world. And then coming back to their own city with this whole new perspective and understanding of themselves and life, how the world works. So people who travel definitely expand themselves. Yeah.
Yes. And I think that growth comes from a point of vulnerability, right? Because you go to a new state or new city, you don't know what to expect, how people are, you know, you do not understand the language, you know, you don't know the culture. So you're more vulnerable and you learn a lot of things rather quickly.
Yes, you do a lot of things and you learn to be adaptable. Be adaptable, you learn to socialize with new people. Otherwise, you'll be very lonely in a new place. I think travel is my wife and I aim to move where we live every 5 years for not only the discomfort and the challenges it brings up that cause us to grow. There's the, when you stay in one place, people get to know who you've been in the past and they get attached to an idea of you. And it may not be, if you're on this self-development journey, their idea of you may not be who you actually are. So when you move, no one knows you. And they when they meet you, they meet the person you are today instead of being attached to who you were in the past. So when you move consistently, you get to keep moving into a new space, being this new person. People see you for what you are, not what you've been. And that we find that very powerful for developing ourselves and our careers and our life.
Got it. Here's a tricky question. You said you would move countries every 5 years, right?
Yeah.
When are you moving to North Korea?
So not. I'm maybe it's due to my conditioning, but I do prefer the democratic, capitalistic countries. Yeah, maybe because it's where I was raised, you know, I'm just used to it. I do. I like that I can pursue my own passions. I can, you know, work and generate profit. I like those philosophies.
North Korea also offers that, but the profit goes to the government. That's all.
Well, a lot of mine does already here. So, you know.
Yeah.
I think there's a level of freedom I appreciate living in the West.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever plan to move to Eastern Europe or the mother Russia?
Not particularly, not with what's going on currently over there. And look, I know I only have a Western perspective of it, and I'm only fed information
by BBC.
Allowed by, you know, by Western owned
media
corporation. So I don't truly know what it is like over there. I have Russian friends and I love them very much. They're wonderful people. But I'd rather stay where I perceive it's safe and where my and my family will be safe for the best of my ability.
Yeah.
So, Europe, definitely. Asia, definitely. Africa, yes. There's many safe places in all of those areas. Russia, not currently. Not until this situation plays out, you know. I'm going to hedge my bets on that one.
There is a hippie, a tourist. He gave a very good suggestion on Instagram. He said, if you want to travel cheap, right, travel to a place just after a tragedy has struck. So
interesting. I'm still not going to do it.
it's cheaper, right? Nobody's going there. It's cheaper. It's more secure.
Possibly.
Right. Like.
Oh, I could.
If you really think about it, that makes sense, though.
Sure. If that makes sense to you, that doesn't make sense to me. You can go for it, mate. I got children. Okay, I've got to be careful now. I can't take known risks as much anymore.
Yeah, family, you know, having family and, you know, increased responsibility does make you more sensible, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, by necessity, if you want to be around for them to grow up, you know, by necessity, yes.
Right.
My life is worth more than just my life now. And
yeah.
Responsible for others.
Yeah, but it's really intriguing because for a lot of people, right, when they have family and responsibility, they come down in the insanity scale. But for some people, they just go up. I don't know why.
Yeah, you can take it either way. There's a, for some people, responsibility is a burden and a stressor and they feel a pressure when they have it. And for other people, responsibility is an opportunity to learn and grow and contribute. So it depends on your relationship with responsibility.
Yeah.
And I'd also say it depends on your willingness to develop yourself, your emotional intelligence, your self-awareness, your ability to deal with and other human beings and all the stuff they're going through. So people take it differently. Yeah. It can go either way.
Yeah. Do you think that this whole concept of nuclear families is possibly bad for the future?
It's bad for the future?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard of that one. Tell me about that. How does that work?
Because most of humanity came out of a community, right? There was a community, you know, around you. On me, you know, when we were kids, right? And you could go to anybody's house and ask for anything, you know, they probably gave you, right?
Yeah.
Because they probably knew you and, you know, knew you very, very well. And in today's world, you know, you would not know who is your neighbor.
Yeah.
Right? And,
families
are becoming more and more isolated.
Yes. Yeah. There's a, in the past, it was normal to be that way. Whereas these days, it takes a new level of responsibility to create that and cause that.
Mm-hmm.
If you look, and we can look at other areas of life, so this makes sense to everyone. if you look 100 years ago, work was physical, laborious for men and for women. The men were in factories or they were laborers. Women worked at home all day. There were no machines. You didn't put the dishes in the dishwasher. Everything was done by hand. So by default, you were physically healthy. You didn't even have to think about it.
Yeah.
100 years later, we've got this technology that does it all for us. And so there isn't a demand to move. So you have to be responsible for your physical movement now. And the same with the social side of life. You went to church. That was just the normal. So you didn't even, there was a demand on you to be social, to be educated by the church, to learn. That's all removed. You don't have to go out for entertainment anymore. You can connect with people at home on your phone. So to live a healthy, productive, successful life these days takes a new level of independence and responsibility. You can still have all the things, have the social life, have the entertainment, have the health. You just need to be responsible for it now because it's not just a default way of life. Yeah, it takes a level of self-awareness and self-motivation to cause these things.
Because the modern world is a wet dream of an introvert, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it is. Yeah, and lazy people. You know, it's so easy to be lazy now. And nothing wrong with that. I love being lazy on my days off. It's just too easy. So we really need to step up and be responsible for ourselves. Not blame society, not blame the situation or the circumstances. You know, I don't want to do my washing by hand. I don't want to do a physical job. I'm blessed and grateful that I don't have those things. I also want my health, and I also want, you know, a healthy social life. I'm now responsible for them. They're not just going to happen on their own like they used to.
Do you think the modern amenities of human pushes each human to be more materialistic?
Did you say teaching each human to be materialistic?
No, would it push?
Say that again.
So would the modern amenities, right, the technology and ease of life, do you think it pushes people to be more materialistic?
Pushes people. I think if you're unaware of yourself, it's easy to end up that way. Yes. Yeah. It's easy to get caught up in the noise. If you're not doing self-development, reading the books, listening to the podcasts, you're still going to be getting an education and information in, but it's going to be from the media and advertisement. So if you're not taking that time out to develop yourself and become aware of how all that will impact you, and then manage it, you can easily end up materialistic, unaware of it, unawaringly materialistic, for sure.
Right. Yeah. Because I see on Instagram, people panic when their refrigerator doesn't work.
Yes, that's true.
Right.
We're creatures of conditioning. We get conditioned to whatever we're experiencing. And we're now living in a world where nearly all the work is done for us, and very soon with AI and robotics, it literally will be done for us. So we're conditioned to very little effort, very little stress, very little hard work.
But would you say that would only be applied to a limited number of people who are rich today? Because even with all the modern things we have, we still do work for 10 to 12 hours a day, right? We are still kind of enslaved in the cycle of, you know, corporate.
Ah, okay. So another subject, we'll leave creatures of conditioning. We have a choice every moment of every day. We get to choose. And if we choose to go work, we can go work. We live in a society where we'll be supported whether we work or not. And
how?
If you're a living creature, you need to work. That's it. Doesn't matter what type of living creature you are, you need to work. You need to provide for yourself. You need to protect yourself. You need to look after yourself. That's life. That's just how life is. You have a choice of what that work looks like these days. That's the freedom we have. We live in a time where any man and any woman can become a king or a queen and grow their own corporation, their own company, their own empire. It's a phenomenal time in history where we have huge freedom. Yes, we got taxes. Yes, we got bills to pay. That's life. If you look through history, if you were a living thing, you had to get up and find food. You know, that used to be, or walk 12 kilometers to get a jar of water. Like that was how it was. The work looks different these days. It's still necessary for our own survival. But we can complain about it. Won't make a difference to the facts of it.
The counter for that is this, right? In today's world, no matter where you live, you have to do something extraordinary in your life to afford housing of your own. It doesn't matter where you live.
If you want to follow the old ideology of housing, that you should own your own house, you should own your own land, if you follow that, yes, you do have to be exceptional or have parents who did well and were planning to provide for you and support you as you grew into the world. If you're ready to adapt and trial new ways, then you
will. That's the modern slavery system, isn't it? I provide you the housing, I provide you the job, I provide you the means to live, I tell you what to do and what not to do. Right? You would rather live naked in forest than that, I feel like. Because that's what governments have started to do now, isn't it? They provide you unemployment benefits. There was a study done in a city in Canada which said it is better to collect unemployment checks than to be employed at this moment because, the payout for the unemployment is so big.
That can be the case. Yeah.
Right. Definitely. And then you go to government for housing and then you go to government to tell you what teach your children. And then you look at government for anything and everything. Then they become the kind of enablers, right? Like drug suppliers, they're just giving you dopamine at every corner, making you more compliant. But is it true freedom? Well, because you do not have options to choose. There is a set system. It's like this, right? It's like living a human being's life and playing a game which has limited outcomes. Because the plot is set in a certain way. Whereas true freedom would mean you could do anything that you want in your life.
You can, and there will be consequences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can do anything you want, and there'll be consequences. And yes, if you're a human being and you're born into this existence, there's rules.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a wolf, born into a wolf pack, there's rules, there's hierarchy. That's what it is to be human. There's this world we're born into. Look, we didn't get to choose our family, our genetics, the time in history that we're born, the place in the world that we're born. We didn't get to choose any of that, and we're here. We can be a victim of that, or we can just accept that and get on with it. And at any time in history, if you wanted to do well, yes, you needed to be exceptional. You needed to work on yourself.
I really don't think so. I feel like medieval people didn't have to be extraordinary to get housing. Housing has always been...
If you were born a peasant, you definitely did.
I don't think so. Because I study history, I read history, right? And I see, Indus civilization, that's the oldest civilization in my country, And I still see housing was easily accessible, where today it's not, because it's systematically been manipulated to make it scarce. So the reason I'm bringing this up is, you said, we have to get on with it, right? We have to contribute to society. But a pessimistic person would say that I cannot afford my housing if I just want to live my life.
I have to sacrifice my life and freedom and go do something that's extraordinary just to afford my own house or my own piece of land.
Yeah. Right. A pessimistic person would say that. And so, I'd say, stop being pessimistic.
But
what's the impact on you when you're being pessimistic?
Well, pessimistic is natural and optimistic is not.
Okay.
Optimistic is unnatural.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. Let me reframe it.
Yeah.
A kid, until they're probably 18, 19, they operate on set survival instincts, right? Is this good for me? Is this bad for me? Right? And even yours or mine, anybody's survival instinct goes to a darker place before going to the positive side of things. Right? Imagine if a kid was locked in a room, the kid would think about the bad consequences first before the good consequences. Right?
Maybe.
So the kid would look at it as imprisonment and he would want to escape it, whereas the optimistic side would be, okay, let's calm down. There is technology here. You know, there is good comfort. Let's stay. Right? Because any time the survival instinct switches on, it's either fight or flight.
Yeah.
And you could argue both of them are, you know, negative. It's not positive.
Okay. So, firstly, I don't know if kids always think about consequences. I don't think that's what they think.
Not consequences, but results.
Reasons?
Results.
Do you mean?
Not consequences because they do not have the rationale. But they want to get out of something, you know, just safe and sound. So they do compare results.
Yeah.
I'm lost in this conversation.
So the whole context of the conversation is humans are pessimistic by nature.
We have to learn optimism. It's not the other way around. Nobody has to teach us pessimism. Because if that was true, we would have negative coaches like positive coaches today in the world.
Well then learn optimism. That seems like a simple solution.
No, I'm not learning, but is pessimism or pessimism natural to us? More than positivity?
The default way of listening to the world is something's wrong for humans, 100%. Survival mode is the default. That doesn't mean we have to be a victim of it our whole life.
Yes, I agree with that. That's the point of all the dragging that just happened. That pessimism is natural and optimism is something that we have to learn, right? We have to learn to calm ourselves, we have to learn to focus on right things in life.
Yeah, 100%.
Right.
Yeah. So if we want to live a great life, definitely we have to do the work. It's simple as that. Yeah.
And especially a peaceful life.
Yeah, peace. Peace is a creation, for sure. Yeah. Peace is not the default.
Yeah.
This is created and managed. Yeah, individually and as a group.
Mm-hmm. But Hayden, do you think that internal peace is the reality and outward or external peace is just an illusion?
Internal peace is the reality, outward peace is an illusion. What do you mean? Can you expand that?
So you could be peaceful as a person. Right.
Yeah.
Somebody could come in front of you and say, fuck you, and you would still choose to be peaceful.
Yes.
Right? but when we think of a society and we say this society will be peaceful one day, that's an illusion that's never going to happen. Because there will always be an asshole who will poke people with a stick.
That's a very pessimistic view, isn't it?
that's a logical view from the point of history.
Let's say you have the vision, okay, that this society will be peaceful. That's going to determine how you show up every day. Now, if you show up with that vision in mind and you act it out every day, you dramatically increase the likelihood of that becoming true. That's what we saw with Gandhi, with Martin Luther King. They had the vision and then they committed their life to it. And they caused the reality, the environment, the society around them to adapt. Mm-hmm. When they were willing to stand strong and stand against all of the resistance and all of the pessimism, they caused the reality to shift.
Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to ask is the vision of a society being peaceful, a group of people or a community being peaceful, is an illusion, right? Because where peace starts to exist, wealth starts to build. And there is always somebody who wants to knock on that door.
Did you say where peace exists, wealth builds?
Yeah. Prosperity, thrives, right? Where there is a peaceful community. And there is always that one person who knocks on the door and says, this is mine. That prosperity. And there goes the peace.
Yeah, so peace is a creation and needs to be worked at. Mm-hmm. It's not permanent and it's not perfect. To cause inner peace, to become a peaceful person, mm-hmm. doesn't mean you're never going to have negative thoughts or be upset. It's when those things happen, you manage them and you bring yourself back to peace.
Exactly, that's my point. Exactly, that's my point, right? Well, if there is conflict within you, you can fight that conflict and be peaceful. But when there is conflict in society, right? It's very hard to keep that community peaceful.
It takes a different level of effort, yes, and it's possible. Yeah, if we're moving as an individual, it's easy. We can make a decision. We can go. When we're moving as a group, well, there's many people that need to make the same decision and then move. And so there's lots of people to work with. That's what a leader does, is he works with the entire group to get that unanimous decision and then move. And so it takes a different level of effort and time to have that.
But hidden people are not perfect. So even if it was an exceptional leader, still peace in society would not be complete. It would always be under progress or under construction because there is always small obstruction of pessimism or negativity in society. So would you say that a complete picture of positivity in society is an illusion?
Is it an illusion? I would say it's a vision that you'd aim your life at.
Yeah, but it's a work in progress, right? It's never complete. It's like children's stories, right? You know, they lived king and queen and they lived happily ever after.
Where I'd point your attention is, if you look at your perspective and you hold your perspective to be the truth, how's that going to impact you and your life?
But I am singular, right?
What's that?
I am singular.
You're singular?
Right, so I have one brain, speaking biologically. I have one brain controlling my whole organism. So I am a singular, but society is not a singular organism, right? It's a mechanism of millions of parts that are humans.
Okay, I need you to hear me.
Yeah.
If you hold your perspective to be true, how does it impact you?
Got it. If I hold my thoughts to be true, then it would make me a close-minded person. Right, because I would be inviting new point of views or facts to be introduced.
Yes, I want you to look at this one perspective, that peace will never be complete. Okay, that's your perspective.
No, my perspective is that external peace is an illusion.
Yeah, And how does that impact you when you hold that to be the truth?
It doesn't impact me at all.
Every perspective is impacting you. Every word you use is impacting you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make you feel a certain way and act a certain way.
Because you know, there is that sort of acceptance, right? Where you understand something is something and you're like, okay, whatever it is, right? Because I am not the leader of my society. That's the truth, right? I'm just a participant in my society. And if I can find my internal peace, I really don't have to worry about the external peace because whatever happens in the external society, I just react to it.
Okay. Well, then become the leader.
Nah, I'm bored with it. I'm the leader.
Well, that's it. That's at the source of peace not being possible.
Right.
Is you're not willing to be responsible for it.
Yeah, because I don't have to be responsible for my society.
Yeah, you don't have to. It's a choice. Every leader chooses leadership.
I don't think so. Joe Biden.
I bet that you don't think that.
Joe Biden.
Yeah, he chose that role.
I don't think so. He has to. No, Hayden has to because he's a career politician.
He doesn't have to.
He's a career politician. Come on.
Yeah, that's his career. That's his choice. It's not a choice.
It's like if you work in a corporation and you get a promotion, you take it. Doesn't matter the pay.
Sure. You don't have to. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Doesn't matter the pay, right? Doesn't matter the benefits, but you take it because it's a promotion. And you're looking to climb the ladder.
If that's what you're looking for, then yeah, you take it. If that's not what you're looking for, you don't take it.
Exactly. So I don't think it's like he chose to be. He was in a position where he got it. Right. You know, Caesar Milan, right? The dog training guy. Have you ever heard of him?
Yeah, he said something like,
You know, humans are the only animals in the world who follow unfit leaders.
Okay.
So do you think, because we are incapable of choosing right leaders, we suffer from this illusion of peace in the society?
Say that again. I don't know how they relate. Say that again.
They're relative because when you have an unfit leader, unfit leader leads you to unfit decisions and consequences.
Unfit as said by who? Unfit by nature to be a leader. Yeah, okay. So by your judgment,
mm-hmm.
you declare them unfit.
No, by the society's standard of judgment or expectations.
Where is this society standard? Show me the group of people who got together and said, these are the expectations, these are the standards we agree upon.
That's where election happens, isn't it?
People complain because that's what people do. We elect people on their capability to lead the nation. Will we? I don't know if we do. I think we elect people based on a party or a color or a gender or
just because you hate the person.
Yeah, exactly.
or just because they look good or they talk good.
Yeah. Look, forget politics.
Yeah.
Okay, forget all that. But if you want, you can live a wonderful life. If you're willing to be responsible for yourself and develop yourself, that's it.
But politics is the leadership structure of society in today's world, in a democratic world.
What about Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos?
What about the leaders of corporations,
leaders of charities, leaders of churches? Leaders of corporations. Well, I would strongly disagree with that. What's my internet doing?
Probably I lost like 5 minutes. I don't know. Yeah, man, my laptop sucks. So, yeah, to my audience, guys, it was like a 5 minute clip, I think, that we lost. And we were discussing about how good humans have been in the past and yeah. all the good deeds that humans have done, right, to become the modern man that we are. Yeah, so moving on, you're a mindset coach, right?
Yes, I am.
So the oxymoronic question is, why I need a mindset coach?
Self-awareness before self-mastery. And if you want to live a large and powerful life, you've got to understand the machinery that you are. It's like you look at a car, okay? If you don't know what a car is and you've never learned how to drive it, what can you do with it? It's just a piece of metal sitting on the edge of the road. But when you understand the car and how it works, you can use it to get you to where you want to be. If you don't understand this machinery that you are and how it's functioning, there's nothing you can do with it. You're just a passenger. You're just along for the ride. But if you get this mind, this being that we call human being, and exactly what how it's causing you to feel what you feel, do what you do, and get the results you get, you can create and design your life. Self-awareness before self-mastery. You want to become the master of this life. You want to play at the top level. You want to win. You've got to understand this piece of machinery that you are and how it works.
Got it. And how do you help people?
I think they'll become aware of this machinery that they are and how it works.
No, in terms of practical results, like what changes yeah. would they see in their in a real life that is helpful for them? Do they become more confident? Do they become more sophisticated? What do they
confident,
become?
Confident, clear, powerful. They're able to listen to their own dialogue and then communicate in a way that impacts the people around them. They're able to listen to others at a whole new level and really get what's going on for them. That allows them to then lead other people powerfully. They understand that they are not their thoughts. Thoughts just turn up. We can then listen to the thoughts and look at the impact those thoughts are having and then choose whether we hold on or whether we remove them. I train people to deal with those moments in the past that have left an impact and remove those moments in the past so they're free of them. So they're not stuck in thinking from the past. That opens up a new powerful future for them. But there's a ton of benefits. People get what they really want when they do mindset coaching. They have the life they really want to live. They end up loving themselves, loving them life, loving the people in their life.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And if people want to get in touch with you, where do they find you?
Find me on TikTok, find me on LinkedIn. You can send me an email. It's Hayden, M for Michael. gforgriffiths@gmail.com, so haydenmg@gmail.com. You can Google Maps, search me. You'll find me in Sheerness in the UK. That'll be my phone number on there. There's many ways to get in touch. Search me on YouTube. Give me a Google. See what turns up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the most badass thing you could say is just Google me.
Just Google me. Just Google YouTube Hayden Griffiths and I'll turn up. You'll see videos from my past. You get to see how much I've progressed as an individual, become this powerful communicator.
Yeah. Hayden, thank you so much for being here. It was interesting conversation. And I hope we gave a value to my audience.
I think we did. I really liked it. I liked how we had you in the black, me in the white. You had your pessimistic views, society is doomed. I'm like, no. Show me the light. I thought that you with the white background, me with the dark one. That couldn't have worked out better.
Yes. Yeah, I often finish off my episodes by saying, I guess we're all doomed.
There you go. We had our opposing views. We went head to head.
Yes, and to my audience, guys, this is the end of the episode. All of Hayden's link will be in the description. Just go there and check him out. And if you felt that, you know, you could benefit from what he is offering, just go and, you know, just chat with him. You will find out whether you can or you cannot. And until next episode, take care and thank you.